Hi, I'm Pastor Sandy Shear. Thank you so much for joining us for the Guts Church podcast. This week, we have the privilege to hear from Pastor Bill. The message was produced with you in mind, and we would love to hear your story of how God is showing himself faithful in your life. Share your story by emailing story@gutschurch.com.
And it is good to be here. And I'll tell you, this fast, I was interviewed for a sermon series from a friend of mine's church today. And one of the questions was, what energizes you? And it's interesting because what energizes me is being around faith-filled people. It really does. Being around like-minded people, being around people that their aim and their goal and the objective of their life causes me to have to put a higher trajectory on mine. Okay, it's those kind of people. And man, I get that every time I come to this church with the staff, with leaders, with in services, at Friday groceries, and everywhere I go where there's Guts people, it just, man, the trajectory is just amazing. I've gotten texts and emails from people just in the last couple months that just saying, hey, this is happening at work, this is happening at home, and man, it's just, I just, God gets all the glory. It's just so amazing. And it just makes me, man, just want to dig in more. And that energizes me. And the other thing that energizes me, and I'll just tell you on a personal level, and I believe it can energize you too, is that when we're in the Word, okay? And for me, as often as I have to do what I'm doing here, I have to just preach the Word, just communicate the Word. I've got to have a steady flow of it into my life, okay? It can't be, man, something I read. Man, I read this 6 months ago in the Word, and it's got to come back up, and it's got to be current, okay? Because, and I'll tell you why that works. The word current is important to me because the currency of the world is money. The currency of the world is cash. The currency of the kingdom is faith. It's trust. And faith comes how? By hearing, and hearing by God's word, okay? So the currency, I say it current, meaning it's now, but it's also currency where it's transactions, it's transactionable, it's transferable, that we are transformed by it, okay? But there's that transfer. And see, that's how the kingdom works, okay? And really, this next statement is something you should write down, because it's a bedrock of who we are and what we're about and what we believe. Is the kingdom is about a life for life exchange. See, it starts when we're born again. We give our lives, God gives us his life. Okay, but now as I read the word, there's a life for life exchange. See, it doesn't just change my mind. It's not just informational. It's not just inspirational, it's transformational. Paul says, look, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, Romans 12:1, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holding something which is your reasonable service. Verse 2 says, and don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed. The only way we can be transformed is for our minds to be renewed. By the renewing of your minds, that you may prove was that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. See, we use the will of God, his word, to transform us into the new creations God's made us to be, to live his will. See, so we read his will, we hear his will, we study his will, we ponder his will, we meditate on his will, we murmur his will, we speak his will, to live his will. See, the whole idea, the transformation happens in our life, but it's a life for life exchange. Tonight, man, I want to talk to you about that life for life exchange, that you don't live your life within the parameters of what you see or how you feel. You don't live your life within the boundaries of what's been dictated to you by your upbringing or your current situation or your education. See, some of you guys may feel like you're limited because of your education. I'll just tell you, I'm not. I'm not limited. Pastor Sandy's not limited by her education. Man, with the education we have, you know what? It's great. They become bricks in the walls, and they become bricks in who we are, the building of our lives. But the cornerstone is Jesus. See, and that's how this works. See, there's too many people I know that have eighth grade, ninth grade educations, older people. But if that, when that cornerstone becomes Jesus, then you know what? It just they just become parts of the structure, the education. We're not limited by it now. I'm not limited. You're not, if you've been incarcerated, you're a felon, you're not limited by that in the kingdom. In the world, you may be limited, but in the kingdom, you're not. See, God's not looking at any of that. All God's looking at is your heart right here and right now. God is never gonna look at your past. He's never gonna bring up your past. Whenever you get this sense of this angst or shame or guilt about your past, it is never God, ever. There's nowhere in the word where God says, well, but remember when you did this and you were disqualified? Well, here, let me think about taking care of that, maybe qualifying you, giving you one more chance. See, and that's what's interesting is people that say, well, God's a God of a second chance. I needed more than two. Okay? God's a God of another chance and another chance and another chance. And we don't use this grace to just live an unholy life. God's giving us a chance to live right, to be right as he's right. See, so I want to talk to you tonight about being complete in him. Where the completion that we have is in our salvation. Our salvation is based upon the sacrifice that Jesus made, right? It's all real simple. I just want to make sure we're all starting from the same place. Because I believe this is going to impact your life. This is going to transform you tonight. Okay? The Bible says signs and wonders follow the preaching of his word. Why? Because his word is transformational. It's not just information. It's not, you know, the devil say, well, you don't know enough. Well, you haven't experienced enough. You haven't been around enough. God's never said that. Okay? All God says is you're limited by your own affections. That's it. That's the only limits that you can have, yourself. Okay? And I'll just tell you, just the faith. I see the favor of God in my life, in Sandy's life, in our children's life, in their spouse's life, in our church, in lives of people in our church. I just see the favor of God everywhere. It's running rampant in front of me. Isn't that right? It really is the favor of God. I mean, if I got up here, if I were preaching on the favor of God tonight, I could give example after example after example after example after example, and you'd be going, oh my gosh, what is he gonna quit? After example, we'd be here for early morning prayer tomorrow morning, and I'd be giving examples of the favor of God. That's how amazing God is. But tonight I want to talk to you about how complete you really are right now. That our salvation, listen, is based upon the shed blood of Jesus, that he was a sacrifice because we were unclean. He was clean, we were unclean, so a sacrifice had to be made so we could be redeemed. So now we're redeemed, and what that redeemed means is that we're clean now. We're not unclean anymore. We're not sinners anymore. Yeah, you know what? We're subject to the old nature, and we have the ability to sin, but God doesn't brand us as sinners anymore. He sees us as sons and daughters now. See, we're his friends now. We're with him now. We're in his company now. And that, I think that's where everything has to start with our mindset. But now we look at it that we're saved. And the Bible says we're saved by grace through faith. Everybody say, I'm saved by grace through faith. I trust God, the work Jesus has done, that it's finished, so I'm saved. See, that word saved means healed, delivered, set free. Listen, nothing missing, nothing broken. See, so now you're complete in him. And you might look at it and go, well, wait a second. I'm short of breath. Well, wait a second, What about my health issues? Well, wait a second. What about my finances? Well, wait a second. How about this? We live by faith. We walk by faith. We don't live by sight anymore. We don't live by how we feel anymore. See, we're not led by our emotions anymore. We're not led by our education or our background or our experiences anymore. We're led by the Spirit of God now. Write that down. I'm led by the Spirit of God now. Why? Because I'm saved. I'm complete in him. In James, the first chapter and the second verse, James writes, says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Now, I wanna preface what I'm saying here tonight with this verse, that the trial you're in is not a trial of your health. It's not a test of your finances. It's all a trial and a test of your faith. Now everything funnels to faith now. Everything funnels to trust. Verse 3, he writes and says, knowing that the testing of your faith, see, it's not your physical test, it's not your financial test. The testing of your faith produces patience. The testing of your faith. See, it's a test of your faith. The symptoms test your faith. You're gonna trust the symptoms, you can trust your faith. You trust your symptoms, you trust God's promise. See, that's what it is. But let patience have its perfect work. See, here's the key. See, patience isn't, I think a carnal, worldly patience would seem like it's passive. It's just, well, I better just sit down. Better just take a load off. It might be a while. I just have to be patient. I mean, so many people, I think me included, have looked at it. I maybe haven't said it because I know better. But the devil gives, there's fiery darts and thoughts that I have that I'll think, oh my gosh, I just wish I were more patient here. Well, let me tell you, the patient part of it is simple and easy because it just goes back to that trust. Do I trust God or not? You gonna trust God here or not? But let patience have its perfect work that you may be perfect, complete, lacking nothing. Think about how powerful this is. Think about whatever your deal is, man. Whatever the testing of your faith right now, man. It may be physical, it may be financial, it may be marital, it may be, I don't know. It may be a 12 on the scale of 1 to 10, or it may be a 2 or 3, and you can deal with it. Let me tell you, those 2s and 3s are dangerous. Because you know why? It's not that big a deal. Yeah, that's not that big a deal. Yeah, my blood pressure's just elevated a little bit. It's not that big a deal. Yeah, I've been late a few times to work, and really, my boss doesn't appreciate it. It's not that big a deal. I get another job. Do you understand you never want to leave a job like that? Do you understand you leave a job, you leave a marriage, you leave a situation, and you've made a mess? You take baggage along with you in your soul. See, so it is a big deal, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect, complete, lacking nothing. It's interesting because there's a Greek word, and I'm gonna put it up on the screen for you to be able to see it, just to prove it to you and then give you the definition of it. But this is the Greek word, personal completeness in all graces and gifts of God is what James is saying here, that you may be perfect and complete in him. Okay, but you're complete in the graces. See, here's what's awesome about God's grace is it's multiplied to us. So the plurality of God's grace. See, what's interesting is God may grace me to do something. And Sandy doesn't live or operate in that same kind of grace. But she's graced too to live. But see, we're all graced, but there's different graces. So now we're trusting God. Man, I'm graced to do what I do. See, and how you find those graces is when you serve God's house and you serve God and you serve God's people. That's when that grace of God, man, it comes back and it's multiplied. It's like, man, they're asking me to do this. I don't know if I could do this. Man, you think about what Joel's doing. You think about how his business, his family's been elevated since I've known him. And why? Because he's just stepped into a new kind of grace. It's like, oh my gosh, I think I could do it. It's more than just a personal confidence to be able to handle the situation. And then every step of faith you take, and you should write this down. Every step of faith that we take, God graces that faith. Remember, we're saved by grace through what? Faith. See, and that's not just how we get saved initially, that's how the whole life is. That we are saved, that we live by faith we live by grace through faith. Every step of faith. How many of you guys have ever taken a step of faith in your life? Okay, if you don't doubt, if you don't have any wavering, guess what's gonna happen? It's gonna require some patience. But let patience have its perfect work, because with that step of faith comes a new grace, a whole new level of grace. And that's what hit me, because you'd hear little catchy things from preachers. They'll say new level, new devil, things like that. I'm in a new level of life, but there's a new devil. And it's like, okay, it's embarrassing that you're saying it like that, but there's probably some accuracy in it. But you know what? With that new level also comes a new level of grace. You hear me? So forget the devils. Forget the devil, the new devils. Okay, just write that down. Forget the devil. We're not ignorant of his devices, but we don't give him any mind. All right? And so we go back to James, I think the fifth verse. And if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives it liberally and without reproach, and it'll be given to him. See, we take this step of faith. Let me say step of faith. We take this step of faith, okay? It elevates us. We're like, oh my gosh, I gotta go back down here where it's more comfortable. No, I take this step of faith. It's like, okay, I'm not sure I get it up here. God, you gotta help me. God, I need wisdom and understanding for the level, God, that this step of faith has taken me. And see, and then God, what does God do? Gives it liberally. How does God give it to you? Through our patience. See, that patience is the stand that we take. There's no passivity to it. Man, matter of fact, it's one of the most aggressive things you can do in your life is to be patient. And it's not just hanging out, it's not just waiting. Verse 6, but let him ask in faith. See, that's how it works too, that where we take a standing firmly on God's promise. Write that in the margin of your Bible there. Make a note there. That let him ask in faith, okay? That means a stand on God's promise. That's not hope. That's not wish. I think too many people, it's more like the altar of the living God becomes a wishing well for them. And it's not wishing, it's not hope, it's complete trust with no doubting. This is where the rubber meets the road. With no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let that man suppose that he doesn't receive anything from the Lord. He's double-minded and unstable in all of his ways. If we doubt, it makes us double-minded. Now we're not taking a stand of faith. Okay, let me give you an example of this, okay? Because I think this is a common example. God, I just thank you that your healing power, God, it is a provision you've given me because of the death, the stripes that Jesus suffered, the death and the subsequent resurrection. That resurrection powers in me. And God, I lay hands on my knee. And God, I thank you now in the name of Jesus, God, for health in my knee. God, I believe you've healed me. I receive it by faith in Jesus' name. And everybody said? Amen. I don't know. It still hurts. What's up? It's okay. It's all right. I got it. I'm good. A day, 2 days, 3 days, a week. Why did it happen? I don't get this. Should be like that, man. I'm not kidding you. Man, I could put a little cup in and push a button and get a cup of coffee in like 30 seconds. How in the world is this taking me a week? See, let me tell you, you're not in faith. How about this one? God, I thank you that my healing's coming. That's not faith. I'm sorry. This is not my system. This is not my principles. If it were mine, I think I would require you to earn it. You can't be stupid. You can't be lazy. You can't be sloppy. You can't be goofy. You can't be mean. God didn't do any of that. He said, you got to trust me. You got to put all your trust in me. How do we know we're in trust? We believe in our heart and we confess with our mouth. It's gonna happen is not faith. It's happened, it's faith. But does it feel like it? Doesn't have to. Does it look like it? I'm not looking for that. I don't live by sight. What do I live by? I don't live by how I feel. What do I live by? See, so that's why, with no doubting, because if I'm double-minded, it makes me unstable. Man, I tell you, how many of you guys Love living in an unstable situation. None of us. God's given us stability if we just trust him. But you know what? When doubt starts to hit us, and it's interesting that we become like a wave tossed by the wind. That a wave tossed by the wind, we don't know where the wind comes from. The wind means a doctrine without a basis. That's what that is. See, what God's word brings us is a breath from him. But the wind is a breath from somewhere that we don't have any idea where it's from. See, and that's what we have to understand, that we can be perfect, complete in him, lacking nothing, patient. Listen, that I'm just expectant. See, that's what patience is. Kingdom patience is expectancy. I'm expectant. God, I thank you, I'm healed. Man, you're walking. It doesn't matter how I feel. Doesn't matter how it looks. God, I'm healed. God, I just thank you for my health. God, I thank you for healing. God, I thank you for my mind. God, I thank you for my eyesight. God, I thank you for my smell. God, I thank you for my hearing. God, I thank you for my physical body. God, I thank you for, God, you guys in here believe God for a baby. God, I thank you for my baby. God, I delight myself in you, and you give me the desires of my heart. God, I thank you for my children. God, I thank you for, and let me just tell you, I've seen it too many times. Man, don't cast away your confidence. Then there's no reward. But here's how this works, is that we don't just come in and get saved. We get saved, our spirit's complete, but our mind has to be transformed. You go to 2 Corinthians 3, in verse 9, it says, Paul says, be made complete. In verse 11, he says, become complete. See, that's how this happens. But listen, it's not just about coming to church. It's not just about paying attention to messages. It's about an expectancy that, you know what? I'm getting better. I'm getting bigger. I'm getting stronger. I'm becoming complete. I'm coming to that place. God, I thank you with every step of faith that I take. God, I'm moving into that place where I lack nothing. See, that's what faith is, man. It's aggressive. It becomes violent spiritually. Because what's the devil gonna do? Devil's gonna point out every ache and pain. Man, you hear about symptoms and it's like, oh my gosh. And we are so aware of sickness and disease and issues now. In health, we become so aware. It's not just your sacroiliac anymore, or it's not just heartburn anymore. Man, they come and they define it into specifics, and it's like, okay, man, do you have a cough? It's like, I think I've coughed today. Oh my gosh, maybe it could be that. See, that's why Jesus said, that's why the Bible says that the name of Jesus is above every name. Man, as soon as they name something, Jesus is above it. See, now we put it in its rightful place. In Colossians, the second chapter, and the 8th, 9th, and 10th verse, verse 8, beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principle of the world, and not according to Christ. Verse 9, for in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Now listen, Jesus was the Word made flesh and dwelt among us. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. This Jesus of today is the real Jesus. But what form does he take now? He takes the form of God's word. He was the word made flesh and dwelt among us. So now the word's gotta live among us. We've gotta run everything in our life through God's word. And then in verse 10 says, and then you're complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. See, that's all the devil wants you to do. The devil wants you to submit to your symptoms, to submit to your diagnosis, to get you out of the authority of God, which is where you are when you're living God's word, when you're trusting God's word, when you're believing it and you're speaking it, you're trusting it, and that's where your faith is. Man, you're living under God's authority. But you know what? Man, if you get out from under that and begin to stray in how you feel and what you say and not bringing every thought into the captivity of Christ, man, for some of you guys, it may be a life and death situation. And you don't want to give in. You don't ever want to settle. You can't negotiate it. You've got to stand, and stand firm is what the Bible says. See, that's the only liberty, that's the only freedom we have in life, is when we take a firm stand on God's promise. Man, put that back up. Man, he's the fullness of the Godhead bodily in verse 9. In verse 10, and then you're complete. Why? Because his word, this word that we're preaching, it's the fullness of God. The fullness. Right here. And it takes shape in us. But it all starts with trust. It all starts with faith. In the head of all principality and power. Other places in the word, it says principalities, powers, and listen, rulers of darkness in heavenly places. How about that? Colossians 4:12, a bondservant of Christ greets you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. See, that's the idea of serving a church. That's the idea of coming to church and song leaders and preachers and the whole idea is to laboring and serving fervently that you may stand perfectly and complete in all the will of God. See, that's the end game for us. It's that you're not just growing, you're not just getting better, but it's thoroughly complete. It's thoroughly, that we get to it in 2 Timothy 3:17 says that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. See, that's what complete is, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Man, in your mind, how many of you guys have doubts on your abilities? How many of you guys have doubt in your skill level, whether you can handle the task that's in front of you? When it comes to the kingdom, let me just tell you, it's all just natural. You realize it, but let me tell you, man, when that doubt hits me, when it's like, you know what? I don't know I'm equipped to preach this. I don't know that I'm equipped to, but you know what? Then I gotta go, wait a second, it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Then I go back to what God promised Moses, and he's no respecter of persons. In Exodus 4:12, he says, go and I'll be with your mouth and I'll teach you what to say. Sandy, how many times have I relied on that? 100, 1,000, 10,000? It's not just a couple. Man, thoroughly complete, lacking nothing. See, that's the image that we have to have ourselves because that's how God sees us. In Hebrews 13:20, now may the God of peace who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Now listen, keep going. Make you complete in every good work to do his will. Back it up to verse 20. Through the blood of the everlasting covenant, verse 21. Make you complete in every good work to do his will. Wait a second, how does this happen? It becomes from the blood of Jesus that we make covenant with. See, so now what you have to have is you have to make covenant with your eyes. You have to make covenant with your ears. You have to make covenant with your mouth. Man, this is all basic, but it's powerful, isn't it, Sandy? I mean, you gotta make covenant with your eyes. What are you letting your eyes, where are you letting your eyes go? Where are you letting your ears go? What kind of things are you putting a funnel on your ears going, man, give me all the crap you can give me. No, you know what? You gotta make covenant with every window of your life that you make covenant. Man, you don't let the devil in. Man, you let every word of God into your heart and nothing else. Whose report are you gonna believe? Who told you you were naked? See, this is the idea. This is how God is with his children. And see, we look at this and it's like, look, we get it. That makes you perfect, complete. Man, in every good work, how is that happening? It becomes the covenant we make with God, and it's a blood covenant. That now he equips us. Now the tools, the skills that Jesus brings to the equation, they're strapped on us, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight. Man, that's what God wants to do. He wants to do a work in you that just becomes well-pleasing through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. That's how that verse finishes. Man, God just wants to, he just wants you to glorify him. But you know what? He's going to equip you for everything you need to do it. And let me tell you, that's where life is fulfilling. There's no fulfillment outside of that one thing, us glorifying God. That's it. No medals, no trophies, no amount of money. I heard a quote of Tom Hanks. He said, I wish everybody in the world could have all the money they want to see that none of it brings the help that they need. I'm thinking, Tom, I couldn't have said it better myself. Oh, but if we just had more money, if we just had more people, if we just had more help. No, you know what? I live by this one simple standard. One word from God can change your life forever. It's happened to me 100 times. I remember the first time I read the story in Samuel where Jonathan turned to his armor bearer and said, let's go take those Philistines. I remember when I'm thinking, wait a second. I researched it, found out that the Philistines, it was 1 million men. The Israeli army had 2 swords at that time, and his armor bearer had one of them. So he turned to the young man who bore his armor and said, let's go take those Philistines. And the young man said, whatever's in your heart, I'll do it. I'm telling you, every word of that story began to change my life, every single part of it. He said, here's what we're going to do. We're going to show ourselves to them. Man, they were down, the Philistines were all up above them on bluffs. And here they were, the 600 men in the Israeli army, one sword outside of that armor bearer, and they're all hiding behind rocks and in caves and in bushes. Here's the army of God hiding. And so finally Jonathan said, my daddy is the king. I can't hide in a hole anymore. So he turned to his armor bearer and said, we're going to show ourselves to him. The armor bearer looked at him and said, whatever's in your heart, I'll do it. What did he have to be thinking? That's crazy. They're going to mince us up into little pieces. This is crazy. He said, if they ask us to stay here, we'll stay here. If they ask us to come to them, we'll come to them. And you know, I read that, and as I'm reading that story, I take the place of Jonathan. I take the place of his armor bearer through that story. It's coming alive to me. He said, if they ask us to come, we'll come. If they ask us to stay, we'll stay. And I thought about it. I thought, before I even read it, I thought, oh my gosh, I hope they ask them to come to where they are. Because then they'll know their cowardice, that they're scared of them. And you know what? What we found out is the captain of the Philistine army, the garrison of the Philistines up there, said when they stood, that captain said, oh my gosh, there's 2 of them. They had never done that before. Jonathan had always gone on his own and won little victories against the Philistines and went back in hiding. But now two of God's men stood, 2 of them. So what did the enemy? The enemy said, oh no, whoa, there's 2 of them. And they said, okay, we're standing. They said, what do we do? Tell them to come to us. So you know what Jonathan knew then? They were cowards. They didn't want to get off of their bluff. Man, they had to walk through an impasse where there were Philistines on both sides. They could have ambushed them easily. And they got up to those Philistines, and the first guy that they saw was that captain. And Jonathan walked by the captain of the garrison of the Philistines, and he dropped to the ground, and the armor bearer just stuck him with his sword. And Jonathan kept walking, the armor bearer kept walking with him, and guys just started falling, and he stuck every one of them that fell. And the Bible calls it a massacre. Now listen, 1 million Philistines. What are you facing today? It just feels like it's so big and so great. 1 million Philistines, and Jonathan's walking by these men, and as he walked by them, they fall, and the armor bearer sticks them with his sword. The Bible calls it, listen, 30 men. They killed 30 men. Calls it a slaughter. There's 1 million Philistines. They kill 30 of them. I don't know what the percentage is. The other 999,970 of them took off running, trampling each other. They ran in every direction they could. Some of them came and surrendered and laid down their arms to Saul's army and said, we want to join you. Here, take our weapons. See, the devil's a coward. All he can do is cheap shot. All he can do is find that hurting place in your life and hit it again. But you know what I say? I say we don't be the soft targets that the devil can prey upon. I believe we come into life with the whole armor of God. But you got to realize you're complete. You're perfect, complete, lacking nothing. All it requires is this, one little step of faith and you're in. No matter what it is in your life, no matter what you're facing, no matter what your issue is, and you might say, but Pastor, you don't know what I'm facing. You know what? Man, if there's a line for people that nobody knows what they're facing, let me in it because you have no idea what I face. I guarantee you, I could go toe-to-toe with you. I could argue my case as well as you could argue yours. And it's not about that. Everything we face is cowardice. All we have to do is stand up to it. But it's a stand of faith that we take. We're not standing in our self-confidence, that we're self-conscious in this. No. I'm God-conscious in this. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take a stand, and having done all to stand, I'm going to stand therefore in the victory wherewith Christ has set me free. That's what the Bible said. See, if you notice, the verses that I know by heart are the handy verses where you need to take a stand of faith. I know the Bible says, let the weak say I'm strong. So you know what I start feeling weak? I'm strong, God. God, I thank you for the power. God, your word works in me. And God, I remember that the description of your word is that it's alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, able. Oh my gosh, now you're thinking, oh, wait a second. I'm strong, the word's working in me. Hold it, the word's working in me. Hold it, the word's working mightily in me. See, it changes the atmosphere. That's what we have to do. It's not just about a church service. We have to change the atmosphere in our truck, in our job, in our home. Change the atmosphere. Man, begin to honor and value people. Man, the one thing I've learned from Roger Walsh, who's an elder in this church, his birthday today. Man, he goes into a meeting. He could have to bring correction to somebody. He didn't come in all harsh and demanding. He comes in valuing them, honoring them. Then that correction's easy. Man, I'll sit with Roger and he'll correct somebody. He values them and he honors them and begins to affect my heart, change my heart, helps me. Man, God's word's working in your life. Perfect, complete, lacking nothing. This Sunday, we're going to lay hands on the sick. The Bible says they recover. The Bible also talks about a power and a virtue that turns situations around. You know, I remember I was in a conversation with Scott Houston, another elder in the church, just yesterday. We began to talk about the woman with the issue of blood. Had this issue for 12 years, was desperate for 12 years, and finally had spent everything she had on physicians and medicine, and nothing worked. It only got worse. Hopeless. Had nothing left. And found out Jesus was coming by. She positioned herself in that street and said, man, if I just could tell him what I'm going through, I know he can help me. And he turns a corner and there's a big throng of people, big, huge crowd of people coming down the street with Jesus in the middle of it. She said, I think that's him in the middle. Man, but I can't get through, man. He's got people. He's got big fishermen. He's got people that are surrounding him. He's got bodyguards, it seems like. There's no way I could get 10 or 15 minutes with him. I don't think I could get 5 minutes with him. If I could but touch the hem of his garment, that's hopeless right there. Nothing she could see, nothing she could feel brought her any hope. If I could but touch the hem of his garment, He's coming by. She leapt out. Jesus stopped, looked around, said, hold it, who touched me? Peter said, what do you mean who touched you? There's a throng of people here and they're all trying to get to you. I think my ears cauliflowered. These people are crazy. He said, no, who touched my virtue? There's this little woman right here, probably hunched over, frail. He said, who touched me? She said, I did. He said, woman, be loosed. Your faith has made you well.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more information about this message and others, please visit gutschurch.com.